Morning. The title of the message is God is Good. Well, it's wonderful to be back with you all. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've been away for rather a long time. And just in case you thought that my life was charmed and I didn't actually experience any difficulties, I'm just going to put you in the picture a little bit. On the 1st of January this year, I was preaching at Turning Point Church, having just been told that my niece had passed away. Then, of course, we had a cyclone in February, which, you know, was a bit traumatic. Then the last time I preached here was in May, and in the middle of my message, I got a message from my sister saying that her husband was dying, and he passed away 2 days later. And this morning, I just opened my phone to find my message, and there's a text from my sister reminding me that today is the anniversary of my mother's death. When I left here in May, I left 4 days earlier than I meant to because my brother-in-law had died, and so I rushed up to Auckland for the funeral and to support my sister. Then I was off to the Philippines, where I had the opportunity to minister in a variety of ways, but most surprisingly was the fact that both the church that I used to pastor and the ministry that I was helping with was Angela Hughes, his heart ministries, both of them had had a major difficulty in some leadership, and I ended up kind of smoothing ruffled feathers in both places. I came home to Auckland for a couple of weeks, where I stayed with my sister, who has custody of her two highly traumatised grandsons. And to tell you the truth, those two weeks were traumatic, to say the least. And I went off to Israel. And just over a week ago, I was lying on the beach in Tel Aviv and the temperature was 38 degrees. And now here I am, freezing to death. My time in Israel was interesting. I take part in an archaeological dig there, so we're up at 4:30 in the morning and digging until lunchtime, and then we spend the afternoon scrubbing pottery and have a lecture in the evening if we can stay awake. And so it's, you know, quite full on. All of that just to let you know that we all, you know, have difficulties, face problems, and need to walk close with the Lord through it all. I listened to Pastor Warren's sermon a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about how the Bible was not for the purpose of solving our problems, but for the purpose of us getting to know God. And I wanted to expand a little bit on that, because you see, the most important thing in life is actually knowing God. But the question, the big question, is how do we get to know him? Well, his word is his way of telling us about himself. But we have to read it from the right perspective. I'm going to tell you now a little story that I read a while ago, and I will show you how having the wrong perspective can make such a difference. I read this story. It was about a lady who was going to visit a friend, and she had to drive along a piece of highway. And the only information she'd been given about this highway was that there was somewhere on that highway a man who was in the habit of preying on ladies who were driving alone. And he would somehow get them to stop, and then he would, or he would thumb a ride or something like that, and then he would get in the car and he would rape and murder them. And so she knew, that was what she knew. And so she was driving along this highway trying to, you know, reminding herself that she shouldn't stop at all. But then suddenly a little kitten ran out in front of her and she slowed, but she wasn't sure that she had missed it. And so she actually stopped and got out of the car to have a look and see, you know, if she'd hit the kitten, and it wasn't anywhere to be seen. So she thought, okay, it's safe, and she got back in the car and she took off. And when she took off, there was a very big truck right behind her with its headlights on full, and it stayed behind her, and she got more and more nervous knowing that there was this dangerous person on this highway. And she eventually turned off, and the truck followed her, and she, you know, went on a country road, and the truck kept following her right behind her, close as it could. And she turned up the driveway, and it was a long driveway, and she went all the way up the driveway, and the truck followed her all the way. And so she was absolutely convinced, you know, that this was the murderer. And so she zoomed into the person's, like, yard, and leapt out of the car and ran. And the truck driver leapt out of the truck with a shotgun in his hands. Well, I'm going to leave the story there for a moment because I want to tell it in a different way. What if she had been told before she went on the highway that there was a really good truck driver on that highway who took it as his job to protect women who were driving alone? Now, wouldn't that make a difference to the story? She would drive along thinking, I'm being protected by the truck behind me. I'm safe, I'm being protected by the truck behind me. Well, the truth is, at the end of the story, is actually the reason the driver got out of the truck with a shotgun in his hand was because the murderer was in the back seat of the lady's car, and she didn't know he was there, but the truck driver could see down, and that's why he had his lights on full, so that the murderer couldn't, he knew he was being watched. What a different perspective we have on the whole story if we start with a different piece of information. And that's what I want to point out to you about reading the Bible. We have to read it from the right perspective. And the trouble is that we often start with the wrong premise. We believe that we are able to determine what is good and what is evil. So when we begin reading God's word, we determine whether or not God is good. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute. You see, we believe we are able to determine what is good and what is evil. So when we begin reading God's word, we determine whether or not God is good. We're starting from a wrong perspective. And the reason we start from a wrong perspective is way back at the beginning, Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than learning about good and evil from God himself. They chose independence rather than dependence. We have to understand God's character. If we're going to truly get to know God, we have to know his character. And the truth that the Bible tells us from beginning to end is that God is good. That means that he is the standard for good. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us his plans for us are good. And Romans 8:28 tells us that actually even when evil happens, God can turn it into good. When things go wrong in our lives, God can make it come out to good for us. But we must start by admitting that we determine good or evil by our own standard rather than by God's standard. We think something's good if it's good for us, and we think something's evil if it's bad for us. We have to read the word from the right perspective. If we start with the premise that God is good, we will read it in a different way. In the beginning of Genesis, we see that God created a perfect environment before he created man. So he created an environment that was absolutely perfect before he created mankind, and he placed mankind in a perfect environment. He gave one command, and that command was for the benefit of mankind. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not a hard command to understand, and it shouldn't have been a hard command to obey. They could eat from every other tree in the garden, including, I might add, the tree of life. But mankind believed a lie. Now, when the serpent comes to Eve in chapter 3 of Genesis, he insinuates and actually tells several lies. He insinuates that God is withholding something from them. In other words, God is not good. He's a meanie. You're not allowed to eat from that one tree. God is withholding something from you. So that's an insinuation that God is not good. It's a lie. Then he says, if you eat from it, you won't die. That's a lie. Because now we all die. If they had not eaten from that tree, they could have lived in the garden, eating from the tree of life, and lived forever. So you will not die is a lie. Some people say, oh, you know, they died spiritually when they disobeyed God. No, folks. Well, yes, they did. But what really happened was they became people who would die. They didn't have to be people who would die. If they lived forever in the garden, obeying that one command, they could have eaten from the tree of life regularly, and they would not die. So that's an out-and-out lie. If you eat from the tree, you won't die. That's a lie. Thirdly, he says, you will become like God. Excuse me, they were made in the image of God. They were already like God. They didn't have to become like God. However, of course, they believed these lies. They believed that God was withholding something from them, and therefore they began to think that God is not good. And we all suffer from the same problem. When things seem to go wrong, we start to wonder if God is really good. As we read further in Genesis, after mankind's disobedience, we read what we call the curses. It's interesting that in the curse on the serpent, there's a promise. It's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it's the first announcement of the gospel. It says that one born of woman will strike his head and he will strike his heel. Okay, this is the first indication that God is going to send his son as a human being to strike the head of the serpent, who will strike his heel. It's a picture of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. That the death of Jesus isn't the end, that's just striking his heel, that he rises from the dead and conquers the devil. So in the middle of what we call a curse is a promise for mankind. Then we read on in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we read that mankind was shut out of the garden, that God put an angel at the gate of the garden to prevent them from entering again, and we read it as punishment. But what if it's not punishment? What else could it be? Well, it could be protection, actually. You see, once they'd eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had become sinners. And they needed to live in time to have time to repent. If they then were able to enter the garden and eat from the tree of life, they would be eternally sinners with no way of repenting. So God doesn't shut them out of the garden to punishment. He shuts them out of the garden to protect them and to give them the opportunity to change. Actually, you can only change in time. You can't change in eternity. So if we read the Bible from this perspective, the whole story takes on a different tone. Just like the story I told you about the truck driver. You see, what we have is a very protective truck driver behind us. He's pursuing us right through life, and he's there to protect us and was from the very beginning. He knows what evil is, even when we don't. And he's got his eye on us and on the evil that could attack us. And he's not going to let it happen. So the fact that God is good is not just a theological truth. It's something that we need to make real in our own lives. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we actually get to know God? First, of course, we have to read his word from the perspective of his goodness. We have to read from the very beginning, knowing that everything that God has made is good, that everything God does is good, that every plan he has for us is good, and that he never changes. He is always good. Secondly, because God is good, we have to refuse to allow doubts about God's goodness. You know, the devil will come to us and say, is God really good? We have to counteract that. Always, 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 God is good. What he does is good. His plans for us are good. Thirdly, thank him for his goodness. In the midst of whatever difficulties or joys we are facing, we need to thank him for his goodness. It helps us to remember he's good. But it also is something to be really thankful for, that we have a God who is not only powerful, but good. Fourthly, we need to trust his goodness. If God is good, then we can afford to put our lives in his hands. We can trust him completely because he is good. He won't do anything to us or around us that will cause us harm. Now, I know sometimes we have a struggle believing that. You know, sometimes it seems like the whole world is in chaos. In those moments, we have to trust that God is good, his plans for us is good, and that nothing he does will be for our harm. And then finally, we need to imitate his goodness. Let's be good. Let's learn what good is by knowing God. He is good. And we really are incapable of understanding or discerning what is really good and what is evil. And that's because we chose, our ancestors chose from the beginning of time, independence from God and trying to discern what is good and evil without relationship to God. We need to come to God in dependence upon him, trust his goodness, Thank him for his goodness and imitate his goodness so that the world will know there is a good God, that we know him, that we have met him, that we have learned experientially about his goodness. We've put our lives in his hands and we've discovered it's safe and we can trust him. So my challenge to you today is, do you really believe God is good? If you start from that premise, when you read the Word of God, you won't look at it and think, oh, I don't like what God did there. You will think, okay, I don't understand why God did that, but he's good. He's good. So whatever he did that or allowed that, or it's because he has a good plan for me, for you, for the whole world, for the entire universe. He has a good plan, and he has the power to fulfill that plan regardless of what evil there is in the world. God's goodness is more powerful than any evil we may come across. Father, we thank you so much that you are good, that your plans are good, that your deeds are good, that your attitude towards us is goodness. Father, we ask you today to help us to contradict those lies that come to us that somehow insinuate that you are not good. Father, help us to trust in your goodness, to believe in your goodness, and to walk in your goodness by being good to others. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.